being hard on your heart, and it's changing you. It's changing you from the inside out. It's transforming your mind and your thoughts, and you're becoming more and more like him. That's the power of his word, and that's the power of prayer as you're meeting with God. This is why we're going through this 30-day challenge, is to spend time each day in Bible and prayer. Why? Because you need to get close if you're ever going to experience personal revival. Everything else is dead religion. All other things are worthless, right? Everything else can be just dead religious activity if we're not close to him. It's about relationship, not religion. So in chapter 2, John talks about the commands of God, the commandments of God, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here. He says in chapter 2, verse 7, I'm not writing a new commandment here. I'm writing an old commandment here. In fact, this was a command from Deuteronomy and a command from the book of Leviticus. Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commands. Jesus drives home those points. All the apostles have driven home this point. It's about loving God and loving others. And so he really is drilling down on that. I like in Romans 13:10, Paul says this, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's the whole law, y'all. It's the whole law, y'all. There we go. Maybe that's what I should have named this message series. In chapter 2, John, he brings together this living in the light and this love of God. So if you kind of move forward a little bit to chapter 2, verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. And so now he's marrying love and light together, right? And in contrast, he tells them this in verse 9, you can't hate your brother and walk in the light. You want to be in the light? You have to apply love to this Christian life. A love for God always, 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 always leads to a love for others. Always. This is how this is a part of walking in the light, is as we're in the light, and as we're growing to know God, as we're fellowshipping with him, he is always, always, always driving us and leading us to love others. Listen, love is your greatest work on earth. It is. You can do all the right things. You can believe all the right things. You can say all the right things. But if you do not have love, all is lost. This is how important this is. And, you know, and it's God's math, right? Life minus love equals zero. He really drives this point home. Paul drives that point home in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here's the deal. When we sin, we are actually, what we're doing is we're violating the law of love. That's what we're violating when we sin. We're not just offending that person, right? We're not just offending God, okay? We're offending the love. We're offending the law of love that he has put into place. Love God above all things, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. So with the question, what's love got to do with it? The answer is everything. Love is your Christian life. This is agape love, God's kind of love, that Greek word agape. And that's really what we're going to be drilling into today. Why don't you move with me now to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look briefly at verse 1, then we're going to move down to verse 16. But in verse 1, it says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. John is like a circus tent guy, right? He's going, come one, come all, see this amazing feature. Come see. See the kind of love the Father has given to us. Come see this amazing event. Come see this amazing thing. His love should overwhelm us, should completely overtake us. We should stand in awe of his love. We should be really shocked at the kind of love the Father has given to us. His love for you offered up his only begotten Son. And if that is not love, I don't know what is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Never diminish the impact and the power of that statement, that he gave up his Son for you and for me. And so the question is, what is agape love, right? And how do we learn about it, and how do we learn from it? Let's move down to verse 16. So 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Here's how we know love, right? That he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So how do we know love? Well, the God of love has put it on display. And he defines agape love right here in this verse. Here's what agape love is. It's laying down your life. If you want to get a good picture of agape love, he just used it to model and show us what Jesus did, that Jesus laid down his life. And then he told us we need to live in that same manner. Agape love is laying down your life. And this is a theme of the New Testament, to die to self, right? Laying down our lives. And I'll tell you, here's the thing, is laying down our lives and giving up ourself to the Lord, it flies in the face of our sin nature, doesn't it? It really rocks our world. We don't want to give this up. And here's what the sin nature is. I say this a lot, but I'll never stop saying, here's what the sin nature is. Sin is two things. It's an attitude and an action. It's an attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. I'm the king, right? And it's an action that plays out in many, many different ways, okay? So sin says, I'm the boss. Crown me king, not him, right? And we always want to be in rule and in control, and we have a propensity, a sin nature that drives us to say, this is my life. I can do with it whatever I want. That's our sin nature. And so we're self-centered. And so when God tells us we have to lay down our lives, we're like, no, I don't really want to give up my life. I like some of the things that I do. They're exciting and fun. And look, he's not saying that to remove fun. He's just saying, lay your life down and let me fill it. And don't act like you know what you're doing, because you don't, right? How many of y'all have figured that out? We don't know what we're doing. Do y'all know what you're doing? I don't know what I'm doing, right? And so, here's one of the things that Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, this humility, right, coming under an authority, coming under, stooping down, getting low, okay? But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. This flies in the face of our sin nature. Our sin nature wants to be first. It wants to be first in line. It wants to rule. And I'll tell you know, what I'm about to say in the next few minutes is going to save you $10,000 in counseling fees, okay? You might want to write this down. Actually, write a check for the $10,000. You can give it to the church. Give it to the church. Because I'm going to save it. I actually write $5,000 to the church. I'll cut you a 50% break, okay? You know that selfishness is wrong. You know this. You know that selfishness, if you think about something like dating, you know, I mentioned that little story at the beginning, how that story played out with the marriage and the sick wife and the selfish husband, okay? is things always start off really well when you're trying to woo somebody, okay? But wooing someone is cheap, right? But growing in discipline is kind of a tough road, okay? And so during the dating process, I might have taken my wife out. I probably opened the door for her. I'm sorry, babe, I don't open the door for you as much anymore. Actually, she opens my door because my door handle's broke. I would pour so much into her. We'd go to the movies. I'd take care of her. I'd be thinking about her a lot, serving her, doing things for her. And then we get married. And all the wooing is over, okay? And if I'm not careful, the sin nature now is on full display. And I remember a couple months ago, I was laying in bed, and Melanie doesn't remember, she might remember this, but I was laying in bed, and I just laid down. I've been in bed for maybe 3 seconds, okay? She comes in, and I'm just kind of closing my eyes, and she goes, "Did you lock all the doors?" Right? She laid down. "Did you lock all the doors?" I'm like, I'm not really sleeping, but the sin nature's kicking in, and I don't want to get up and lock those doors, okay? So I hear her go, she goes to all the doors and stuff, comes back into the room, and all is well, you know. We call that selfishness, right? Self-centeredness. This is how it plays out, and it plays out every day. Because to give another person energy takes energy away from us. And we want to give most of the energy to ourselves. And this is how the love of God rocks your world, is because the love of God teaches you just the opposite of what your sin nature wants. And it presses in, and it convicts, and it transforms. Or you can harden your heart against it. And you can settle for a dead religion that never grows you, right? So it's up to you. Harden your heart toward the love of God, or you can soften your heart and let him show you how to love like Jesus. It's completely up to you. And so so you think about yourself more than anyone else, okay? And you think about your needs and your wants and your plans and your desires and your agenda. You know, when you're a baby, think about a baby. I like what John Piper says about infants. He says, "Do you realize how selfish infants are? They're extremely selfish." He goes, "Imagine this. Imagine a small baby having the strength of a 600-pound gorilla." He goes, "What would they do to you? They would probably tear you apart." Right? Why? Because they want what they want when they want it, and they want it now, right? And so from the very beginning, we enter this world very self-focused. And you can't break this on your own, y'all. You'll never be able to break this on your own. The only thing you can do is just embrace it and just say, "This is who I am." But the love of God will change your heart. And when you come under his authority and you get into agreement with his truth, he'll take that love and he'll transform you, and the love of Christ inside of you will begin to change all the people around you. This is how it works. You know, people say, if there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? How many of you have heard that question before? If there is a God, how come there's so much evil in the world? That is such an easy question, y'all. This is such an easy question to answer. We are the evil, right? The sin nature, our sin nature, we want what we want. And this is where all conflicts come from. This is where all strife, marital strife, this is where all these things come from. And here's what happens. The love of God breaks that. It breaks it in you. James 4:1, it says this, "What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war inside of you? What are your passions? I want what I want. I want my own desires. I want myself to be fed. Those are the passions, it's those sinful passions at war inside of you. And then, so that question, why is there so much evil in this world? It's very simple, because of our sin nature. And it's all of us. Don't think that you're going to rise above others in the world. We're all the same. We have that sin nature inside of us. Some of us run with it more than others run with it. The big question is why is there any good in this world? That should be the big question. That should be the shocking question, not the other one. And here's the shocking question of why there's good in the world. It's God. And it's the love of God that brings the good to this world. By nature, I think of me first, and so do you. And everything in our culture feeds that. Get what you want. You know, have it your way, McDonald's says. Obey your thirst. But selfishness, as you know, it destroys relationships. It destroys homes. It's the reason people can't keep jobs. It's the reason people can't be together. And we're seeing a rise in selfishness. We're seeing a rise in evil in our nation. And the only thing that's going to solve this problem is the love of Jesus Christ being shined through his people. Amen? So what is love? Love is laying down your life. Philippians 2:4, it says, look out for one another's interests. It tells us to do that, to look after one another's interests. And look, I've seen rude, mean, crude people get broken under the weight of God's love. I've seen rude people, evil, mean people get broken under the weight of God's love. When I was in prison ministry for 7 years, I watched this take place. That chapel service, for some reason in prisons and in jails, the chapel service is really filled up, and I'll tell you, they call it, you know, whatever they call it, the, you know, jailmate salvation or prison salvation or those kinds of things. That's pretty legit, y'all. Listen, because look, they're left to their own devices, and they're in such a place of such evil that when they see a beacon of light, they run to it because they want to get out of that darkness. And I'll tell you, it fills the chapel, and you've never seen so much praise going on than you see. And people are spending lengthy periods of time in prison. I'm not saying all, okay? Probably most are not, but I'll tell you, the people in those chapels are just praising the Lord. Why? It's because they're so attracted to the love of God and the light of God in the midst of all the darkness. And look, our world is the same way. You want to solve the problem in the world? Find revival. Get close to Jesus. Learn more about his love. Stop assuming you know what love is, because you don't, and neither do I. Just get really close to him, and he'll keep peeling away the layers and layers and layers of sinfulness and selfishness. And as he's peeling those away, there's a diamond under there. And if you really want your best life here on earth, you'll get close to him. Paul calls it a living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice, laying down your life. What other decision do you have? What other plan do you have? John 15, 13, greater love has no other than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than a person who would lay down his life for his friend. That's a display of love to the highest, highest level. And that's what Jesus did. So he continues, look at verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Dwight, can we show that image from last week? Okay, so here's what we've learned so far in 1 John. When you are in Christ, you are in the light. When you are in sin, you are in the darkness. Okay? What happens when you are in light? You're exposed to righteousness. Look, we're covered with the righteousness of Christ, and we live in his truth. When you're in darkness, you are living in sin, and you are deceived, and you live in lies, and you have no idea because you are in the dark. But when you are in Christ, you are in the light, and you operate in love. And so get this picture. Imagine your hand reaching out of the light and reaching over, and this is what happens when we sin. We reach over into the darkness to grab hold of some kind of sin that we might be attracted to. Maybe there's a temptation out there, okay? But here's the deal with believers. We don't live in the darkness. We don't walk in the darkness. That's not where we reside, okay? When we sin, we go to our advocate, and he's faithful to forgive, and we have fellowship with him because we are in the light. We don't live in the darkness. So when he says this, little children, let us not love the, and or he says, verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? How are they living in God's love? How are they living in God's love? That's what he's saying. Then he goes on, verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And this is really powerful. You might want to write some of this down. Verse 19, but this we shall know, that we are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before him. So John says, talk is cheap, right? Let us not love in word and talk, because talk can be really cheap. Look, it's important to talk and share our love for others. That's important, but it can be very cheap, right? In other words, love can never be reduced to just sounds, right, that come out of our mouths. You can't reduce love to that. That's what he's saying. Love is always something that's real, something that is true and genuine, and it's beneath, right? It's beneath our works. It's beneath the things that we do. It's something inside of us that motivates and pushes us to sacrifice and come out of ourselves. 1 John 2:5, it says, but whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps the word of God, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And so here we are in the word and in prayer. We're fellowshipping with God, and through the word of God, his love is getting perfected inside of us. We'll never have perfect love, but we will grow. Paul says we are ever changing from glory to glory. We are changing and growing, and the love of God is growing inside of us as long as we are in fellowship with the Lord in his word and in prayer. And I like what he says here. So let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. In the way that we serve, right? In our deeds, in the way that we give of ourselves and actually apply love. So now it's not just talk, but now we're putting it into application, right? We're applying God's love, and we're putting it into action and into works. So love is something that's genuine and something that is true. But look, it can't be just narrowed down to words. And listen to this. It can't be just narrowed down to works. I was reminded of this verse this morning. Listen to this verse. This is 1 Corinthians 13:3. Paul says this, if I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. So I can say, I'm giving my body away to be burned for God, right? But inside of me, I have not love, I have nothing. Isn't this something? So it's not just a mindless work, because what happens when we just try to do the work without love? We do it with ulterior motives. Have you noticed this? We do it for attention, right? We do it to make ourselves feel good, okay? There's nothing wrong with doing something to make ourselves feel good. That can be a part of it. I mean, that seems to be a part of all good works, right? It makes us feel good. But we have to watch the motivation, because what's under the surface, what's beneath the act, the things that we do, should be a growing love, agape love of God, okay? How do we get that? Through fellowship with God, right? Fellowshipping with him, spending time with him, learning about his love. 1 John 3:18, it says this, "Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed," and then he says this, "and in truth," right? And I think this word "in truth" pushes the issue even deeper, right? "By this we shall know," he says in verse 19, "that we are in the truth, and reassure our hearts before him." And so here's the bottom line. You're going to see this on the screen. One point. This is a one-point message. What is love? What is agape love? What is God's kind of love? What is the love that God is looking to produce inside of you? Well, love is laying down your life. That's what love is. And maybe God is speaking to you today, and you're realizing this incredible problem we have with sin, and you now have a greater understanding of the power of love to overcome sin, and you have a greater understanding of your own sinfulness and self-centeredness. And this is not to put you down, it's to build you up in the love of Christ. This is what that's intended to do. And maybe you need to lay your life down. And maybe you've never done that. Because it doesn't just happen at the point of salvation where we come and we basically what we do at salvation is we lay our lives down before the Lord and we just say, "I can't do this anymore, Lord. I empty me of myself, and I come to you, and I die to my old self, and now you fill me up. I can't live that way anymore. I lay myself down. Now you come and fill me up. Fill me up with your goodness. Fill me up with your truth. Fill me up with your love. Help me to be a light." And that's what we say not only at salvation, but every day when we get up in the morning, "I lay my life down to you, Lord." Why? Because I love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so I lay my life down before you. Fill me up with your truth. Fill me up with your love. Teach me your ways, Lord. I'm going to ask the mic to come up. And I'm going to ask the prayer team to just kind of move over here to the side. And I want to give you an opportunity here in just a minute to come and look, maybe God is speaking.